Well, how was your 2018? How did it go? Was it good? You have regrets? Do you have any anything that's just kind of taking you back? I'll give you a minute to think about that as I find my notes here. There's some things that, as we enter into a new year, that oftentimes make us think, right? Was it just another year? Or was it a special year? I'm sure if you were to stand up here instead of me, we'd be here for a long time hearing some of the things, both challenges and triumphs that 2018 brought to you as you look back. Did you rejoice in 2018? Did you have any regrets in 2018? Well, I want you to think for just a moment, get your imaginations working for a moment. Imagine that you have a bank account that credits your account each morning with $86,400. Wouldn't that be wonderful? There is such an account. Think about that. It carries over no balance from day to day. Every evening, the bank deletes whatever part of the balance you failed to use during that day. What would you do? Draw out every cent, of course. Each of us has such a bank. Its name is time. Every morning, it credits us with 86,400 seconds. Every night it writes off as a loss whatever of this you failed to invest for a good purpose. It carries over no balance. It allows no overdraft. Each day it opens a new account for you. Each night it burns the remains of the day. If you fail to use the day's deposits, the loss is yours. Guess what? There's no drawing against tomorrow. You must live in the present or on today's deposits and invest it to get from it the most of what God has for you each day. Think about this. To realize the value of 1 year, ask a student who's failed a grade. To realize the value of 1 month, ask a mother who's given birth to a premature baby. To realize the value of 1 week, ask the editor of the local paper. To realize the value of 1 hour, ask the friends who are waiting to meet each other. To realize the value of 1 minute, ask a person who's just missed the bus and is going to be late for work. To realize the value of 1 second, ask someone who just avoided a car accident. To realize the value of 1 millisecond, ask an Olympic athlete who just placed second. Right? Treasure each moment that you have. Treasure it more because you have Jesus in your hearts. And we want to live out those questionable lives that we're going to learn about in these coming weeks. But we want to think and get a perspective from Moses today. In order to look forward, we need to look way back to one of the oldest psalms that there is in the book of Psalms. We're going to look through expositorially the psalm that is accredited to Moses, Psalm 90. But before we do, I want us to pray. Lord Jesus, we are 6 days into this new year, and we thank you for each and every second of this new year, that you've given us breath, that you've given us health, that you've given us eyesight and smell and life and the abilities that you've given to us, that we're able to be here and worship you in spirit and in truth and in freedom. We give you honor and glory and thanks to the Lamb that was slain. You are worthy of all our glory, all our honor, all our praise. And help us to value every second of our 86,400 that you've given us today and tomorrow and the next day. So we give you thanks for that and ask now that your word would help us to transform each of those seconds this year to something even more impactful for your kingdom's sake. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. If you have your Bibles or your tablets, please turn with me to Psalm 90, and we will read the entirety of this psalm, verses 1 through 17. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, O sons of men." For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning, though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of our Lord, our God, rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. God and man. We look at these first few verses. Well, as I said, this could be one of the oldest psalms, and it is accredited. Most scholars say that it is one of the oldest of all the psalms in the book of Psalms, likely written by Moses, either before the wilderness wanderings or a bit afterwards. Likely, if you want to look this week in your Bibles to Numbers 13, this psalm was possibly written around that period of time when Numbers 13 was written. Or possibly it could have been written a number of years later around when Numbers 20 was written. So just some historical context for you. And it's possibly written right after Moses experiences the death of his sister Miriam and his brother Aaron. So put that in context. As he writes this, he's just experienced the death of two of his closest relatives. And also, not being allowed to enter the promised land, as we read of in Deuteronomy 34. So we come into this picture that he has, that he gives to us, of who God is. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. As I read that this past couple weeks, dwelling place. God is our dwelling place. What does dwelling mean? We think of dwelling. Lord, you have been our dwelling place. Well, it's a place of connecting. I pray that you feel that the Lord is dwelling with you here as we come together and meet every Sunday. God is dwelling with us here. It's a place of intimacy. We dwell together. Sometimes in other countries, they call houses a place of dwelling, a place where we can connect, where we feel at home. God has been and always will be. He is infinite. He is above time and space. But yet he dwells with us. And he dwelt with us in the midst of our sin, in the midst of everything. He came and he died for us, as Romans talks to us about. Think about verse 2. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. There has never been a time when God has never existed. Always. He's always existed and always will exist. He's the author, the finisher. He is the beginning, the end. He is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He is always with us. Those words should not just be flippantly said, but they are words that should deeply impact our lives. And what Moses has just gone through in his life is something very trying, very challenging. But when he puts it in light of who God is, and when we put our challenges and our triumphs in light of who God is, they pale in comparison. Thought for us. God is infinite, we are finite. God is above time and space, but we are finite, we are dust. Think about that. As I thought about this, two Greek words for time came into my mind, chronos and kairos. Some of you may know those words. Chronos is what you have around your wrist or on your phone, the time that we have. And God is above time and space, but he breaks into time and space. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We just celebrated God breaking into our time and our space in the advent of Jesus Christ's first coming. What a wonderful thought that God left heaven in order for us to gain heaven. Advent. And that was a kairos moment. Kairos being a moment where something special, an appointed time, appointed space, that God breaks into temporal time and space. He is from everlasting to everlasting, and he always will be. But think about God breaking in. Have you, as you think back over 2018, was it just about Kronos? Just about getting through the day? Or was there kairos moments where God just broke in to your everyday life? Or was it a gerber wheel of going round and round and round and round? Think about it. I pray that there was some kairos moments in your Kronos time. And that it wasn't just a going through the motions. Well, that's one way we can apply some of these verses to our everyday life. And continue to remember what we just celebrated. As I said before, the Advent. And today we, as some churches, I don't know how often this church has celebrated Epiphany, but today is Epiphany. We celebrate, some traditions celebrate the baptism of Jesus this day. Some traditions celebrate the Magi coming and worshiping and bowing down before the toddler Jesus. But breaking through and worshiping. God is among us. God is here. He has been. He always will be. But in the midst of things, he dwells among us. Jesus came and dwelt among us. So as we think about this, as we think about our lives in light of this and how finite we are and how infinite he is, let us magnify him. How many of you have telescopes? Anyone willing to admit that they have a telescope, that they look out into the stars or ever look through a telescope? Yeah. Yeah, isn't that powerful? It's wonderful to see God's creation and some of the stuff. I highly recommend a video by Louis Giglio called Indescribable. Great, maybe if you haven't watched it, just talks all about a lot about the galaxy and different stars, how God has created them. But oftentimes in our world today, people see God like a distant star or a distant planet that, well, we maybe know a name, we know a location, but we don't really know much about that planet. Right? We just heard on the news this week that there's a satellite that went going out billions of miles, and it went past one of the a little piece of rock that's about, I think, 33 miles in length or something about like that. And we know now about one of the pieces of rock at the very edge of the Milky Way galaxy. Very interesting to think about that. But sometimes people in our day-to-day life, as we bring it back down to reality a little bit, think of God like that little rock way out in the galaxy. God, you know, I knew about him. I kind of know about him. His name is God. I heard Jesus once in a while. But who is he? I challenge us today and in this new year to be spiritual telescopes of Jesus. That we would be people who magnify the presence of Jesus to people around us, so they don't just think of God or Jesus as some concept that's far away, that's just written about in the scriptures, or that they heard about somewhere, maybe in a Sunday school class 50 years ago, but that he's real, he's alive, he's come, he's dwelling with us, he's in our hearts, he's in our lives today, and that we would magnify him in that way. And in so doing, that we would once again see the juxtaposition of ourselves to God, that we are mere dust. So we see this in verse 3. You turn men back to dust, saying, return to dust, O sons of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. I was reminded of that once again. This past fall and over the Christmas break, A friend of mine who I was quite close to for many years and fell out of touch with for a while died. This found out that he died this past September. He just turned 40. And I read this scripture and I am reminded how quickly life can pass through our hands. And how precious life is. Amen? That we need to live life every day to the full. Those 86,400 seconds, you don't get them back, right? Right now, approximately, you've lived 7,200 seconds. Sorry, 7,200 minutes in 2019. How have you used them? Those 7,200 minutes. We're about 6 days in, five and a half days in. How have you used them? I didn't expect my friend, I'm sure he wanted to live many more years, but God has his sovereign ways. He knows. And he knew that my friend would be taken with cancer at age 40. He knew that about 5 years ago, I did the funeral of a 17-month-old little girl in Saskatchewan. God knew that that little girl would die at 17 months of age. That rips my heart out. God knew. How are we using our days? How are we using our seconds? How are we using our minutes? What does that look like? Because soon we will wither up in these earth suits and we will die. That's a reality, folks. One out of one people die. How are we using the time before that happens? Well, God's anger and our days. What does that look like? Well, we see here, we are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in light of your presence. Anyone want your sins blasted up here this morning? Anyone want them put up on the overhead? Anyone? Any volunteers? I don't think so, right? But that, as I read that, that comes to my mind that, you know, we read another place in the Psalms, if you kept a record of sins, God, who could stand? Who could stand? None of us could stand in light of Almighty God. Amen? None of us could stand because he is holy. We are sinful. But get this, folks. Jesus came and we just celebrated what Jesus did. What was lost in the Garden of Eden was gained at the cross. Amen? Yes. And so these secret sins that Moses talks about here, we don't have to worry about them. We need to confess them and release them. And God brings to us fullness, righteousness. We confess our sins one to another, John says. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us from all of our secret sins. They're not secret anymore when we confess them. You know that? We bring them out. Wonderful thought. Well, we need to fear God. And yes, it is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. It's a terrible thing. I challenge you to read a very powerful sermon by a reformer by the name of Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. After that, there was great revival that broke out in his church. People were hanging off the pews. I don't know if I'll preach that. I may preach that some Sunday. Sinner in the Hands of an Angry God. We'll see how that goes. But God's anger is at sin, not necessarily at us. Amen? I want you to hear that today. God's anger is at sin, the sin in our lives. He sees us as his creation. He sees us differently. He loves us. And so in his love, there is that anger at what separates us from the full extent of his love being given to us, being lived out. So we see that here. Some discouraging words, but some words that give us perspective in verse 9. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Boy, you feel encouraged by that, church? Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. I don't know about that. But sometimes you feel that way. Oh, man. And there's people out there, folks, in our lives, in our areas of influence that feel just like that verse. You know that? All our days pass away under your wrath. God hates me. He hates me. I can never measure up. I'm never good enough. Met anybody like that? Yeah, I have too. Have you ever felt like that yourself? Maybe if we are really honest with ourselves, we'd feel that way sometimes. Well, we don't need to. God has promised us life and life abundantly through his son, Jesus Christ. And the length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. Some of us, some have lived longer, much longer than that. Right? Isn't that wonderful to think about? 70 years. Some of you here are over 70. Praise the Lord. Some of you here are over 80. Praise the Lord for the strength that he's given to you. Amen? Seniors? Awesome. God has given you that strength. And he knows the number of your days, as Psalm 139 talks about. All the days that were ordained for us were written in his book before one of them came to be. Wonderful thoughts for us to think about. Interesting to think about the span of our life. He goes on to say in the last part of verse 10, yet their span is trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. I thought about that. I thought about Jesus' words to us in the Gospels. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. I think that's the strength that Moses is getting at there. That we can have the strength to overcome in order to see better days. Even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of struggles, which we will have or maybe are currently having, that we can overcome. We can overcome. You know, it's hard when you're in pain, as I was last weekend, to overcome. Because pain, it really narrows your focus, doesn't it? It really puts it right here instead of looking out and up. But what does 1 John 5:5 say to us? 1 John 5:5 says that who overcomes the world is the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. That's who overcomes the world. The troubles, the trials, the sicknesses, the illnesses, those kind of things. It's Jesus Christ. He overcame so that we can overcome. Amen? Are you going to be an overcomer in 2019? Oh, church. Need a little bit more interaction on that one. Are you going to be an overcomer in 2019? Yes. Oh, hallelujah. There you go. Awesome. Praise the Lord. Overcoming. So we don't need to be discouraged by these verses. Going on to verse 11. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Thinking about that, there's so many places, especially the beginning part of the Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, keeping him in the right perspective, that he hates sin, right? That he hates those things that separate us. And we should have that same hatred, that same wrath for the things that he hates. Challenge you this new year. Ask God, give me your heart, Father God, that I may walk out in wisdom, walk out in fear. The fear of you and who you are that gives the perspective of how and what choices we should and shouldn't be making. Verse 12, teach us to number our days aright that we may gain a heart of wisdom. What does this look like? Well, James 4:14 comes to mind. Yet you do not know what your life may be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. You don't know what's coming tomorrow. We're just a vapor. I said my friend at 40, the girl who's 17 months of age, we don't know how much time we have left on this earth. Only God knows that, right? Let's make the most of it. Amen? We want to make the most of every day. So what does it look like to number our days aright? Pastor Skip Heitzik says, life is short, live for him. Put that on your calendar. Put that on a t-shirt. Life is short, live for him. We don't know how much time we have. Well, I did some math. I've lived approximately 13,990 days. 13,990 days. What does that look like? Well, kind of like this. See the rest of this rope a little bit here? It's a little bit more than 13,990 days. Maybe 70 years, 80 if you have the strength. Right? This is eternity. Eternity. Well, it's knotting up a little bit. But anyway, eternity. You get the point. You get the picture, right? Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. How many days have you lived? I'll let you do the math. Not right now, though, please, okay? Mine's here. Thank you. All right. One statement I've had in my office, oftentimes I need to put it back up in my office here, but living life by priorities, not by pressures. Too often we live life by pressures, not by priorities. Pressures of employers, pressures of family, pressures of other people, what other people want of us. Believe me, I've been there, done that, given into that. What are your priorities this year? Teach us to number our days aright. We may gain a heart of wisdom. Pastor Chip Ingram gives us 6 symptoms of misplaced priorities. I want to bring those to your attention today. First one is busyness. The activity trap. Are you busy but barren of fruit? Are you busy but barren of fruit? Think about that for a minute. So many times we ask each other, how are you doing this week? How has your week been? Oh, I'm busy. What does that mean? Are you being fruitful? Are you bearing fruit, God's fruit for the kingdom? Or are you just busy? Number two, priority. Or number two, misplaced priority. Emotional stress and pressure. So like I said, living by pressures. Do you have enough tightness, anxiety, headaches, trouble sleeping, restlessness? Is it hard to sit still? Is it hard to get your mind to slow down? Maybe even right now, you're thinking, oh, that wonderful roast or that leftover turkey that's still sitting in my fridge from Christmas. I would really like a bite of that right now. Oh, I got to pay attention to the pastor. Oh. Are you indecisive at times? Just not being able to make a decision? Are you a person who likes to check things off a list? But when you get the list all done, there's still a bit of dis-ease in your feelings. Like you just haven't quite accomplished it all. I need to get it all done. We just finished your list. You still feel, and there's just a nagging guilt that's there. And that's number three. So you have busyness, emotional stress and pressure, a low-grade nagging guilt. Not doing enough. I'm not busy enough to be successful. Anyone of you ever thought about that? I'm not busy enough. I'm not full. My life isn't full enough. Some of you may say, my life is too full. I'm too busy. How do I get rid of things? I'll ask him about that. That's between you and him. Maybe between you and your spouse a bit too. Careful. Number four, financial debt. Financial debt. I wouldn't necessarily put mortgages under this, but consumer debt. Right? Consumer debt. Credit cards, those kind of things, racking them up. And this time of year, that can be a problem, having too much consumer debt. Just seek the Lord on that one. Create a budget. Go online. There's lots of different resources there. There's resources even within our own town to help you budget well, so you're not spending more than what you are receiving. Number five, prayerlessness. Leakage in the devotional life. When was the last time Jesus had your undivided attention? When was the last time Jesus had your undivided attention? Very good question for us to answer, not only today, but every single day of the new year. He needs your undivided attention. He needs ours. I notice days when Jesus hasn't had my undivided attention. It's different. I feel more stressed. I feel more anxious. It's like a spiritual roller coaster. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Jesus is going to guard your heart. What does it say in Philippians 4? Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything with prayer and petition, give your requests to God. Right? And what after that it says, he will guard your heart, your mind, and your heart with the peace of Jesus Christ that passes all understanding. Your circumstances may not change, but your perspective on them will when you pray. Number 6, misplaced priorities. Excessive behavior. Hopefully none of you are going through a midlife crisis, but sometimes this can happen. You want to go bungee jumping. Just out of the blue. You elbow your husband or wife. Let's go bungee jumping this afternoon, honey. What? Maybe you want to go and rent a nice Ferrari and just zip it up and down the 520. Or maybe you just like driving what you have really, really fast. Maybe some ladies or maybe some men, goes back to financial debt, but you want to go on a buying spree. I just don't have enough shoes, some ladies say, right? I don't have enough clothes. Some guys might say, I don't have enough tractors. I don't have enough laptops. I don't have enough tablets. Got to get more technology. Well, sometimes that can be as simple as eating out too much, right? Every single meal, something like that. Excessive sports. And there's nothing wrong with sports, but I just want to encourage you as we enter this new year, don't let sports control you. Sports are great. I love watching hockey. I love playing basketball, the other things like that. Wonderful things. They're good. But if sports control you, anything that controls you is an idol. Anything that controls you is an idol. So just be careful that you don't devote every waking minute to sports, because then Jesus won't have your undivided attention. Maybe you spend lots of time watching TV or the internet or consumed by emails or consumed with your cell phone, social media. Maybe you just eat to make yourself feel happy instead of because you're hungry. Or maybe you have a drinking problem, alcohol or drugs, whatever consumes you. We need to be aware of these things. Because these are small, misplaced priorities, these 6, but everything that's big starts small. Everything that's big starts small. Lord Jesus, help us to number our days aright that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Mark Twain has this quote, "The secret of getting ahead is getting started. The secret of getting started is breaking your complex, overwhelming tasks into small, manageable tasks and then starting on a new one." If you feel overwhelmed by things in life right now, just break them into manageable tasks. Paul gives us some similar advice as to Moses in Ephesians 5:15-17, specifically verse 15. "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Finally, affliction and establishment. Moses, here we see in verses 13-17, is interceding for his people. "Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us as in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days." We look down here at verse 17, so where I want to focus as we close our time together. "May the favor of the Lord God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands." Well, what does the favor of God look like to Moses? What does it look like for us? Well, for Moses, it would be coming through the 40 long years of the desert wanderings and the people of Israel finally entering the promised land. For us, it is to continue to delight in the Lord We read in Psalm 37, to delight ourselves in the Lord, and he will give us the desires of our hearts. To continue to remember that we have everything we need for life and godliness through the precious promises of our Lord and Savior in this book, 2 Peter 1:3. Remember in Ephesians 2:10 that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God's favor, he has works for us to do. What favor is that? Isn't that wonderful that God has works for each and every one of us to do this year? Wonderful. Scott and Rosie, I'm going to pick on you for a minute. God knew that in 2019 he had a work for you to do in Van Cleek Hill. Isn't that awesome? He prepared that in advance for you to do. And we're sad, but we're also excited. Because God's got some awesome things. We're looking forward to hearing what God's going to do. And for all of us, God's got a work for us to do. We are God's workmanship. First of all, to think about that for just a second. That we are created in his image. His plans for us. Good stuff. God's sovereignty is key because he knows the work he has for us. I love this statement. The latter part of verse 17. Establish the work of our hands for us. Think about that. For. Why is that for there? For us. Not, well, you know what? Here's all my goals, God. Here's all my plans. I have everything. I write it all out. Here's my checklist, God, for 2019. Can you rubber stamp it, please? That's not what Moses is saying here. Somebody's saying. Doesn't mean we don't have ingenuity. Doesn't mean we think things up. That's great. But if it's just us, what good is it going to do? It's just going to be emptiness. And might accomplish something for a short while. But we need to release our plans to God. Right? In our heart, we have plans, but God determines the steps. God determines our steps. You may have lots of plans. We have lots of different plans. There's been lots of plans that the church has come up with and prayed about. When it comes to vision, when it comes to the future, you know, we work together and we've prayed about what God has for us. And you have prayed long before I came here. But if it's just about us doing something and having programs and doing things, then really it's going to be emptiness and accomplish very little. But establish the work of our hands for us. I pray that's our prayer for this year and every year. Establish the work of our hands for us. Church, can you say that? For us? For us. Yes. So there's still effort. But like Paul states, it's not like a man beating the air. It's not just like going through the motions. Our work has meaning and purpose behind it. It is worship. Corrie ten Boom, who is famous for the movie The Hiding Place, and because it was her life as she hid Jews in World War II, the back wall, she had this illustration. I think it's very fitting for us as we enter this new year. How do we want God to use us? Think of a glove. When you put your glove or your gloves away, they just sit there. Can they move on their own? No. Can they do anything? Can you put them on your hand? Can they be put on your hand by themselves? No. But think of us as a glove and the Holy Spirit as the hand. Corrie ten Boom tells us. Think of us as a glove, for without the Holy Spirit, we're just a limp piece of leather or whatever, a limp piece of polyester. But with the Holy Spirit in filling us, think of that for a second. Many of you work with your hands all day long, building stuff, repairing stuff, fixing things. If you didn't have your hands, boy, you'd be in big trouble. But think of us as if we try to just do everything in our own effort and not let God favor rest upon us, which is his Holy Spirit, and establish the work of our hands for us. We're just a limp piece of polyester. Might be good to look at, but really doesn't serve a whole lot of purpose. God's favor is there for us this year, establishing the work of our hands. So how is 2019 looking for you? Will there be rejoicing? Will there be regrets? May we magnify our Savior and our Lord. May we continue to keep frailty and finiteness of our lives in perspective. of his glorious goodness, his dwelling among us. May we use the time God has given us wisely. May God's favor rest upon us and establish the work of our hands. May his kingdom come on earth at FCBC and in Claresholm as it is in heaven. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we want your vision. We want your favor. We want to walk out in your favor in these days because the world desperately needs a savior. The world desperately needs your love, your dwelling in and through us in order that the world will know that you have sent us. Establish the work of our hands for us, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would not try to just go out in human effort, but that we would release today all of the efforts that we have tried and failed. And just give our plans, our thoughts, our ideas, many of which may be from you, but may we release them to you now and say, Lord Jesus, have your way in my life, in the life of Faith Community Baptist Church, and in Claresholm this year. Lord Jesus, I pray that this time next year, there will be new faces in this assembly because you've established the work of our hands for us, because your favor rests upon us. Your kingdom will be seen through us and established in the work and through the work of our hands. Thank you, Jesus. We give you all the glory, all the honor and praise, and pray that your kingdom would come, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, here in Claresholm, through our hearts, through our lives. Thank you, Jesus. I commit it all to you. Be our vision. Be our words. Be our actions. Thank you, Lord. Reveal to us, reveal to each person here, the workmanship, the works that you have prepared in advance for us to do. Reveal, and encourage, and lead and guide us. Thank you, Lord. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.